For those of you on the internet or disc or tape, we've enjoyed going through several Christmas carols together with West Tuttle playing for us. And it's Tuesday evening before Christmas, and we just wanted to spend some wonderful time together doing that. And now we resume back into our study. If you'll please open the scriptures to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. We're on the end of this great chapter, and so let's begin on looking at this. I've been working on Romans, and I'm really looking forward to the study in Romans. I don't know how it's going to work, just talking with you about Romans. I'm committed, before I even start, now we'll do a kickoff on it New Year's Eve and maybe Sunday morning of New Year's, but I won't start it. What I'm really going to try to do is, in most chapters, I want to go through Romans, so I'm going to try to do no more than four lessons per chapter. I don't know how that's going to work. Chapter 1 just has so many rich things. But I would like to do Romans and before the lady in Hot Springs dies. And so we'll just see how that goes. And what that's about, Jim, is that when I was in Hot Springs, I told him I was going to do Romans. And this one lady says, "Oh, good, I'll die in the book of Romans." Now, another thing I'd like you to be thinking about, and we'll talk, you let me know after we get through this evening. I don't want to take any more of our time. We did take time singing. I think it's befitting, good English word, I think it is befitting that we get Tony a nice Christmas gift. If you have some ideas of what we might get Tony, I would appreciate your input. But I do think it is befitting, and I'm not talking about a tie or something like that. I mean something nice that just is a token of appreciation for letting us be here this year. And so be thinking about that and let me know what you come up with as far as a suggestion for that. Any prayer requests? Okay, just be in prayer for each other, and let's go into prayer. Heavenly Father, there are so many things that are happening in the invisible realm that we are not aware of, as Job was not aware of the things that were going on, and yet it affected his life directly. And there are so many things that are going on right now that affects our life that we're not aware of that is going on. Therefore, Heavenly Father, it is so imperative that we walk by faith and not by sight, that we simply, Heavenly Father, trust You and live each day as though Christ were coming today, are going to call home the church today. In our homes, in our marriages, in our life, in our business, in our social, every aspect of our being, every dealing with everyone that we deal with. Father, pray that as we study these things, we become so confident of the future, so confident of why we live with enthusiasm and joy. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Revelation chapter 6, we now come tonight to the sixth seal. And remember, there are only seven. So tonight we come to the sixth seal. And with this one, the earth shakes. Let's first of all read just 12 through 17. And I looked, John is writing, and I looked when he, Jesus Christ, broke open the sixth seal. Now watch what happens. There was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the whole moon became like blood. Not just the side we see, the whole moon became like blood. and the stars of the sky fell to the earth. Now listen to this interesting analogy. As a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. This is very important. Note how he words that. The tree cast. The tree literally throws off the unripe figs. And we know about a fig tree already. Verse 14. And the sky was split apart like a scroll when it was rolled up. Every mountain and island were removed out of its places. And the kings of the earth, the leaders of the earth, and the great men, and the military commanders, and the rich, and the strong, and the slave, and the free man, ran and hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. People, something's going to happen. It's never happened before in history. It's going to be unbelievable stuff. And they said or cried out to the mountains and to the rocks, fall in on us, hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. How did they know that? How did they know that? For the day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand through it? Well, that's pretty dramatic. Verse 13, verse 12 begins our study of a scene that's never happened in the history of man before. Let's look at it. And I looked when he broke the sixth seal, he, Jesus Christ. He's the only one qualified to break it. Open the sixth seal. He's already broken five. This is six. We've got one left. And there was a great earthquake when he opened it up. Closed that seal. And the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair. Now, the sackcloth made of hair, this was sackcloth made of hair of black goats. And therefore was a fabric dark and rugged in appearance. And the whole moon was like blood. Now, what actually happened when Jesus Christ opened the sixth seal is not all that certain. Many think that there were at least one or more nuclear explosions on Earth, causing many of the reactions on Earth, throwing thousands of tons of debris into the sky, casting an atmospheric discoloration, which could cause the darkness and the blood red, the moon looking blood red, and apparent changes in the sun and the moon. The word for earthquake is seismos. Just give you an idea of what's going on. Seismos, S-E-I-S-M-O-S, seismos. Since you're close, you can see that. If you were at a big auditorium, you'd be able to see it. Jim, can you see that? Okay. With a definite article, the earthquake, some violent catastrophic shaking is what this word refers to. Some violent catastrophic shaking. The earth actually shook. This is the big one. This is the big one. People who live in California have experienced little ones. This one's a big one. The whole earth is going to shake. A fearful shaking of the galaxy is what we have happening here. A shaking of the heavens and the earth. Something dramatic, something horrible, something astronomical is going on. It's beyond Steven Spielberg. First of all, I'd like you to turn with me to Joel. The book of Joel. Let's look at the book of Joel a minute. The book of Joel, chapter 2. I've been listening and watching with an interest what's happening in the court system and dealing with teaching of children in regard to evolution, creation, intelligent design, and a judge has declared that intelligent design is religion and banned it. It is not scientific. And people, these things, I hope that your soul doesn't become disturbed. I hope your soul is relaxed. Why not? First of all, it's been going on. We can go back to the 20s of the last century. But as we move further and further away from God, there is no God as far as man is concerned, judicially, philosophically, and it's just going to get this way, worse and worse, as far as America's concerned, and Christians and religious people that may not be Christians yet but do believe in the existence of a God, we're going to just see more and more of the division. And things that we read in Revelation will be so easy to understand how and why they will occur. Now look at Joel chapter 2, verse 28. We'll begin reading at verse 28 of Joel chapter 2. And it will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. This is said to Israel, the nation of Israel. Your young men will see visions. And even on the male and female servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And I will display wonders in the sky and on the earth. Blood, fire, and columns of smoke. The sun will turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. Okay. So just a few things from Joel. We're not here to study Joel. I wish we were. Spent a lot of time. Let's just note a few things. I want you to know who's doing it. God. Now, whether or not he will use nuclear explosions by man, I don't know and don't care. This is one of those things that you and I have to say and understand. God is working here. God is doing this. Whatever's going to cause, whatever John sees, whatever man is going to see in the middle of the tribulation, God is going to bring it about. I would like you also to turn to Haggai with me. Haggai is the third of the last books in the Old Testament. So let's look at Haggai, the third of the last books of the Old Testament. What I want you to see is that this is not something new. What John sees is not something strange or new to him. These are the things that the Jews are very familiar with, when we should also be. All right, Haggai chapter 2, and let's look at verses 6 and 7. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, in a little while. Now, it's already been 2,000 years, over 2,000 years since Haggai. Maybe 3,000 years. God says, a little while. A little while. Once more, in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all the nations. I think shake their soul as well as the nations itself. And they will come with the wealth of all nations. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Look at verse 21. Same chapter. Speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, saying, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. God is going to do this. This isn't going to be something man does. God is going to do it. And I will overthrow the thrones. Now watch. I will overthrow the thrones of the kingdoms and destroy the power of the kingdoms of the nations. I will overthrow the chariots and their riders, and the horses and their riders. We just noted what? Four horses. The four horses of the apocalypse. We're seeing the rise of nations in power that are going to cause so much havoc on earth. That's what he's going to do. I will overthrow the chariots and their riders, in other words, the warriors, and the horses and their riders. And I think there's the imagery here is the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Will go down, every one, by the sword of another. Now, we were studying that. We would see what's going on. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 13 now, or chapter 6, please. Verse 13. Revelation chapter 6, verse 13. Continues the description. Verse 13 continues the description of this event. The description of the catastrophic events that are going on earth at the opening of the sixth seal. Only this one is filled with a lot of complications. Just a lot of complications here. So let's take a look and see what we can find. I wonder what they did with my better pens, but that's okay. I'll mark on their Texas Hold'em walls. Okay. All right. Okay. Verse 13. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth just as a fig tree cast its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. A great wind, we have that all the way back to Genesis 1, where the Holy Spirit hovered over the earth. The Spirit is the wind. Now, this presents some problems, verse 13. First of all, most stars are larger than the earth itself. I hope you know that. Stars are larger than the earth. So even if just one of the stars were to hit the earth, it would likely, in all likelihood, decimate the earth. It would just the earth. It wouldn't come and land. It would decimate it. Secondly, the analogy of the fig tree is also alerting, along with the fact that the figs on this tree are unripe. Not like ripe figs, and they're just hanging there ready to die. They're getting rotted, and they'll come off. These are unripe figs, not yet ready to produce, not yet ready to be acceptable. But first of all, let's deal with our star problem. Thank you. Let's try one of these. Let's deal with our star problem and see what we can get with that. The word for star is a star. It's their word. Here's the Greek word. A-S-T, long E-R. A star. Now, some try to solve the problem, get around the problem by interpreting this word as a meteor. Some type of a meter coming down. There's going to be some disruption on earth in the middle of the tribulation. What exactly is described here? You do not have to agree with what I'm getting ready to go through. It's entirely up to you. I'm going to share with you what the Spirit has opened my eyes to see here. And if you see it, fine. If you don't, that's fine. Don't get up and walk out. This isn't a creed that you have to believe to worship here. But this is what he's leading me to see. So I'm going to jump right to it. And then I will support it. What verse 13 is describing is that in the middle of the tribulation, Satan will be kicked out of heaven and come to earth. And he's going to come to earth in great anger. And that is what is referred to here. Satan is going to come to earth with great hatred, anger toward the Jews, toward God, and great wrath of Satan is coming with him. And that's what we have here. Now let's remember where we are in history. One, in chapters 2 and 3, the church on earth. Between chapters 3 and 4, the church is removed from planet earth. In love and compassion of Jesus Christ, we're not going to study it now, but in the love and compassion of Christ, he removes his bride to be, escorts her to heaven, to God the Father, for the wedding and the wedding feast of the Lamb. Sometimes when I do a wedding on the Friday night rehearsal, I don't always do it, sometimes what I'll do is I take the time and explain to people what's going on. And the Father bringing the bride down the aisle is analogous to God the Holy Spirit bringing the bride up to Christ. The groom is Christ. Then Christ, the groom, takes the bride and from the Father, from the Holy Spirit as it were, and then he, Christ, brings the bride up to the altar, and that is a picture bringing her up to God the Father. And there the wedding occurs, and then the wedding feast. That is what is going to happen. Secondly, along with the removal of the church, remember, is the removal of the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, chapters 4 through 6 historically deal with right in the middle of the tribulation. So chapters 4 through 6 deal right in the middle of the tribulation. So let's take a look. This is chapters 4 through 6. We studied 4. 5, 4 was the scene around the throne. And 5 is the book, and who's the worthy to unopen the book. And 6 is now we have the opening of the first 6 seals. So let's see what we have going on. Point 1. Be sure we're all together here. Point 1. First, the first 4 seals are opened. So we have, first of all, the opening of 4 seals, and that refers to the release of the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. This occurs, what I'm giving you right here, occurs in the first 3.5 years. So the opening of the first seal, of the first 3 seals, covers the rapture of the church is here. And with the removal of the church, removal of the restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit, we start with the first 4 seals. And with the 4 seals, we have the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Tribulation is 7 years cut short. So here we have the first 3.5 years. The first four seals are opened. The 4 horses are released. The white horse, red horse, black horse, pale horse, white horse, dictatorship, red horse, war, black horse, death. So just remember the things we have going on. Excuse me, the red horse is war, the black horse brings about death, and the pale horse is all the horrible things, just the wild beasts are turned loose, and it's just horrible things on the planet Earth. Point 2. The 5th and 6th seal are open right somewhere in the middle of the tribulation. So we open the 5th and 6th seal. We're toward the middle, toward the middle of the tribulation. The first 4 beginning of the tribulation, progressively, one's open and that horse comes, and then another's open and that horse comes, and another's open. That's taken virtually 3.5 years. Some 3 years, so. Now we come to moving into the middle, and that is the opening of the 5th and 6th seal. Now remember, the 5th seal was what? That was the martyr, the Christian, believing martyrs in heaven. So they're moving toward the middle, and they're crying out, and then God Christ then opens the 6th seal. This is the middle of the tribulation. This brings us to point 3. Out of the 7th seal, which we haven't opened yet, out of the 7th seal will come the seven trumpets, composed of the three woes. Out of the seventh trumpet will come the seven bowls or vowels, V-I-A-L-S. Point four. In the first half of the tribulation, 144,000 Jews will be immediately saved. And how are they saved? By faith in Christ. Faith in the Messiah. That's the gospel. 144 Jews will be saved and will begin evangelizing the earth. Evangelize both Jews and Gentiles. So point four, we immediately, with the opening of the first seal and all that, begins the coming of the 144,000 Jewish converts who will start evangelizing. Remember, whenever you see and hear of Jews in Africa, America, Brazil, Central America, South America, any hemisphere, any country, anywhere, at any time, and you'll find a Jew almost anywhere on earth, just say, thank God for your faithfulness. Because one day is coming when those Jews will hear the gospel and they will start evangelizing. That's what true speaking in tongues is about, people. Because what's going to happen is they will start speaking in the tongue of wherever they, whoever they are, wherever they are, and giving the gospel. This is unbelievable stuff going to happen. We'll come to all of that. So we have 144,000 under point four. 144,000 Jews beginning to be immediately being saved, beginning to evangelize the earth, both Jews and Jewish converts. Now, these are those that will make up some of those martyrs that we talked about in the fifth seal. Those will be some up here in the fourth seal, excuse me, the fifth seal, who are crying out from the throne beneath the throne of God. We studied that last week, 2 weeks ago. That brings us to point five. Brings us to point five. Judaism is revived in Israel. Judaism is revived in Israel. Sacrifices, the whole deal. Be sure you put this down. But it must be pointed out here that this revival is not in truth and not in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not in belief of the Messiah, but in trying to bring back religious traditions. And I will support that and show you that. People make a big deal and they're really excited about it. It is not good. They are not doing it in the power of the Spirit. They're trying to bring back the Old Testament, bring back the old glory. It's like Jim and I trying to bring back rock and roll of the 50s. It just isn't going to happen. People will like it for a minute, but that's about it. So be sure we understand point five when we talk about the rise of Judaism. What we're talking about is going to happen, but it is not a great and wonderful thing. Okay, point six. Point six, in the midst of all of this, the temple. The temple will be quickly constructed. Again, in unbelief, and religious worship will commence. I'm sorry to say, because I love the state of Texas, but I don't know if I all do it, but not long ago, maybe a decade or so ago, some real weird people. They had to be out of it. They couldn't have been from Texas. But some real weird people down in Tyler, Texas, where they discovered they had all these plans, how they were going to go to Jerusalem and just blow up. They had their plan of how they're going to blow it up. Blow up the Dome on the Rock, the Muslim Dome. They're going to blow that up, and then they were going to construct the temple so that Jesus would come. People were not going to bring him in. It's what a lot of people think. Let's all the Jews get back to Israel and that'll bring Jesus. We're not going to do this. This is at God's timetable. This is at God's timetable, how it's going to be done. But under point five, point six, the temple is quickly constructed, again in unbelief, and religious worship will commence. Brings us to point seven. This is all in the first 3.5 years. The two beasts will become evident in history. Two beasts will become evident in history. The dictator of the revived Roman Empire. So he'll be alive, and whether or not he'll have very much authority, I don't know. But he will be alive during the church age, and then the church will be taken home, and then he will resume leadership and authority of the revived Roman Empire and the second beast, the dictator of Israel. The dictator of Israel. So, point seven, we have the two beasts. Dictator of the revived Roman Empire, dictator of Israel. Point eight. The revived Roman Empire is completed. The revived Roman Empire is completed with the Antichrist ruling it. The first beast. The Antichrist will be ruling the revived Roman Empire. Okay. Now we come to the middle of the tribulation, which is where we are in our study in Revelation 6, 12, and 13 and following. So let's see what we got going now. We are in the middle of the tribulation. Let's see what's going to happen. First, the first thing that will happen in the middle of tribulation, which is what we're studying in 6:13, is that Satan is cast out of heaven. And we'll come back to this. But the first thing that will happen that's going to put everything into intensity is that Satan is kicked out of heaven. God says, you're out. Now, I'm not going to talk about it here right now, but what's going on in heaven? The marriage between Jesus Christ and the church, and a big wedding feast, and you'll be there. And the menu is beautiful. No vegetables are described. Several meats are described. And ice cream's there. That's not there, but I'll find it. But, there's definitely that. The best. Better than Chateau Lafite. Okay. Instead of first growth, it'll be a heavenly growth. Okay. Oh, that was good. I like that. Okay. That's the first thing that happens that's going to kick everything off. And this is what we're seeing right now in this seal, the sixth seal. Is Satan is kicked out of heaven. Now, point two, or point one, Satan out of heaven, and that's going to cause all the people on earth, you remember that little chicken thing we used to study when we were little kids? The sky is falling, the sky is falling. That's verse 13. The sky is falling. The sky. You never read about the little chicken crying, the sky is falling? He called it so many times because he got hit on the head. Huh? Yeah. And it got to the lesson, the moral of the story. I can't believe that. The moral of the story is be careful because nobody will believe you if you keep crying something. And that's the moral of the story. He kept crying all the time. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. The sky is not falling. So nobody would believe him. So then when he really did cry, nobody believed him. I'm coming to that, to the plural. Yeah. Okay. So this is Satan getting kicked out of heaven. And that's going to kick everything off. Point two. Now, when that happens, then what's going to happen on earth? Anti-Semitism just explodes. When Satan is kicked out of heaven, he comes to earth, and he comes with anger, hatred toward the Jews, and he's going to get rid of them. That's what Armageddon's all about. Armageddon, that's what it's about. It's about movement of the troops toward Jerusalem to destroy Jerusalem. Destroy the Jews. Kill them. You think Hitler had something going? Not even be compared with what Satan's going to try to do in the at the middle of the tribulation. So he gets kicked out of heaven. He comes to earth and he shakes the whole earth. And he gets this in his anger. And therefore, we have the anti-Semitism increases on earth. Point three, an alliance will be made between the two dictators. Dictator of the revived Roman Empire will make an alliance with the dictator of Israel. See, the Israel's now in trouble, just like it's been through history. The United States has taken our place to protect it, and then we got bombed by the Al-Qaeda, who told us exactly why it was done, because we were pro-Israel, pro-Jews, and America goes into great shock. Ooh, whoa, why is this happening? Well, you protect somebody like the Jews, and Satan isn't going to let it go very long, along with some other things happening. But so the world now is going to move. The Antichrist, really, the world is getting with all these people in hatred of the Jews. So, the dictator of the revived Roman Empire will make an alliance with the dictator of Israel for the Roman Empire to protect Israel. It's like having your cat protect your canary. And so, this is what it's going to be like. I have no idea where that came from. I do not have a cat. I've never had a canary, but I know the story. Okay, so we have that going on. Now the fourth. Intensity is just growing. So here we have the third one. We have a treaty. Now the fourth. The statue of abomination is set up in the temple of Jerusalem. This is put up there by the dictator of the revived Roman Empire. First beast. The fifth thing, the seventh seal is open, or the seventh trumpet judgment starts. The seventh trumpet starts. Point six, with the opening of the seventh seal, with all of this going on, believers in Jerusalem begin fleeing to the mountains for safety. Believers in Jerusalem, because the armies are starting to move toward Jerusalem, and just like you get out of New Orleans when Katrina's coming and many people didn't, there are going to be some Christians who know, believers who know what's going on, and they're going to try to get out of Jerusalem. That's why it's going to say, boy, it's going to be bad for a woman who is pregnant and carrying babies and all the trying to feed with the breast, all these things. It's going to be really rough because it's going to be a bad time. Be a bad, bad time. So if you have any relatives, you tell them, if you're gone tomorrow, don't get pregnant about the middle of the tribulation because it's going to get rough. Okay. Now, point seven. Two witnesses begin their evangelism. The two witnesses begin their evangelism. Okay, any questions about the time schedule and what we got going on in the first 3.5 years, middle of the tribulation? Okay, let's go back to verse 13 now in Revelation 6. The stars of the sky fell to earth as a fig tree cast its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind. To me, this is a foretelling of Satan being kicked out of heaven. Now, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at the word stars. Let's see if I'm making this up. If I am superimposing on this verse. Let's find out if I'm doing that. That's a very bona fide question. If I did this in seminary, I would have to do a superior job of going through the text and giving the understanding of this position. And the first thing that I would do is I would go to the basic, into any seminarian's room to study, and I would pull off his bookcase the basic Greek lexicon dictionary, Bauer's Lexicon by Orton Gingrich. They translated it. And I would go to the word astar or star. And I would turn to page 117. It's amazing to me We have this lexicon, and it's like having Webster's Dictionary and arguing about a word instead of just going over and taking the dictionary. Look at husband and wife and people we'd like to argue. Just hit the dictionary. Now, you both have to agree we're going to agree with what Webster says. And if you just say, well, I don't care what Webster says, well, then that's fine. All bets are off. But if we're going to let Webster be the final on a definition of a word, we go to the lexicon. I remember in the study of understanding blood, the blood issue. Did Jesus Christ literally bleed to death, and these references to blood in the New Testament is a very big issue. I had one professor even say that any of us who did not believe that it referred to the literal blood of Christ and bleeding to death on the cross and all this, we should be kicked out of seminary. It was that big of an issue. And so some of the kids came down to my room. I always got picked on. They came down to my room, about four of them together. They were armed, not with guns, but with their ready for battle about the word and the understanding. And I just said, I tell you what, let's don't do this in my room. Let's just go to your room right down the hall. And I said, now, pull down your Greek lexicon. And he pulled down Bauer's lexicon by Art and Gingrich. It's about this thick. And I said, now, look up the word blood. And we looked it up. And Art and Gingrich just went through just a beautiful explanation of how blood refers to the life of an animal and therefore refers to the spiritual death of Christ. He just, very beautiful. And they all just stood there, completely disarmed, because it's right there in their own little dictionary. I didn't argue, didn't do it, just let it do it. Let's see what Bauer says here, page 117. The first thing, and I'm just kind of summarizing for you quickly, the first thing he does is to substantiate that this word is used to refer to living beings. Extra-biblical material and biblical. Extra, it refers to living beings endowed with reason. Then, it refers to a star, a single star. I'm just taking the order he does it. A single star. Now, we have the plural. But his next discussion is a single star. The sighting of the first star of the Magi in Matthew 2. One year we're going to have to just do the whole Christmas special on the star. Why the Magi came from Babylon area. Why would they come from Babylon area? Do you remember who was taken to Babylon? Remember who was taken to Babylon when Babylon came in and destroyed Jerusalem and took a lot of them back, and he took back Daniel. Took back Daniel. And Daniel did a lot of prophesying. And they had all this in record. And they knew, and so this was no shock to them what was going on. But anyway, then he refers to our passage as stars falling in the tribulation. Then he lists New Testament passages where stars are linked with the sun and the moon, star, sun, and moon. Then he cites Revelation 1 and 2, where the Son of Man holds seven stars in his right hand, where they do not refer to literal stars, but to something else, the churches. He then validates that the word is used of angelic beings, where he talks about stars equal gods, star equal a small g, star equals angels, heavenly beings. Now, one more word from the lexicon. Jesus Christ himself is referred to as a star. Look in your Bibles at Revelation 22:16. Look at your Bibles, Revelation 22:16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I, Jesus Christ, am the root of the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Now turn with me, if you will, to Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 24. Numbers 24. Read with me verse 17. I see him, but not now. He sees him prophetically, coming in the future, but not at the time, this time in history of Numbers. I behold him. Divine divisions, how he beholds him, prophetically, but not near. Not at this time, but in a distant future. A star shall come from Jacob. Reference to the coming of Jesus Christ. A scepter shall rise from Israel, and shall crush through the forehead of Moab, and tear down all the sons of Seth. So the stars we see now, we're getting okay with. It's not just referring to a celestial lighted star, but can refer to other things. And I don't want to rush through the rest of this, and so we will resume at this point next Tuesday evening. And let's close in a word of prayer. While, Heavenly Father, such things that will be going on. Now, Father, we know we'll not be here. We'll be in heaven. We'll be looking down at all of this. But it gives to us, Heavenly Father, that strength of stability to walk in the Spirit by faith, to trust you, and to know that all things are taken care of, no matter how horrible they may seem to get on earth or even in our own lives. So kind of God you are, you give us this confidence and this joy and this assurance. Pray, Father, you take the things that we study in Revelation, cause them to bear fruit in our own lives with strength, stability, and encouragement, that we may be encouraged to walk by faith. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.